This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. You're tuned to the WRKC News at 5. I'm Station Manager Lauren Gallagher. Thanks for joining us. Tonight's stories include a part two of the WRKC 50th anniversary story and a recap of Voter Registration Day. This past Saturday was the 50th anniversary reunion for the WRKC radio station. Studio alum attended an event presented by the station and talked about their experiences while students here at King's with WRKC's John Flynn.
WRKC's role as an influencer in the lives of King's students was recalled in a number of ways this past weekend during the station's 50th reunion celebration. Of course, the station has always impacted the musical landscape of Wyoming Valley with its alternative format. George Philhauer reminisces about bringing the emerging sounds of the new wave movement to the airwaves.
And I just come from the New York area out here, and I was going to CBGB's before it became whatever it, you know, became. And so I was seeing all these amazing bands, Television, Talking Heads, the Ramones, Heartbreakers, and I started bringing those records in, and people were kind of taken aback by that. But the thing about it was great music. It wasn't the punk rock that people thought it was. It was amazing music.
And it wasn't only the diversity of music that brought people together at the station. Mike Moran, who got his start at WRKC and has spent decades in the media, emphasizes that the station was a place for students to congregate and socialize.
It was great to hang out with a group of people. You had people from different majors. You had criminal justice majors. You had people from English department, whatever department they were in. It didn't matter. When you were at the radio station, you had that common bond. You all loved what you were doing. We either loved music, loved radio, or both. And we shared that. And it was just a great group to be in. We wanted to spend time with each other.
Karen Dolan went on to become a photographer, club DJ, and a staff member of Spin Magazine. The experience she had at the radio station still holds a special place in her heart.
When I look back at King's, 80% of my happiness is revolves around the music and RKC.
The station's marquee public service project, the Radio Home Visitor, began in 1974 and is still heard each day on the station at 10 a.m., Annie Jenkins, a 1987 graduate of King's, discusses the lasting contribution of Tom Carton, a King's student who later became a priest in the Congregation of Holy Cross.
And he was instrumental from the very beginning of the radio station. But I believe it was a student project to start the Radio Home Visitor. And the Radio Home Visitor is a service for the blind and sight disabled, reading the newspaper, reading the news to them every day. And sometimes it's the only contact they might have that day with the outside world.
And at Saturday's reunion, WRKC General Manager and King's grad Sue Henry revealed that Father Carton's commitment to the station will be honored with a special honor.
What we thought we would do to pay tribute to Father Carton was to raise some money. And we thought, well, what will be the thing that is the greatest about raising the money? If we could name something after Father Carton. So there was an appeal that was done, and guess what? The WRKC control room will now be the Father Tom Carton studio.
Keep listening to WRKC throughout this anniversary year for more memories from our staff and their experiences with college radio and how it's touched their lives. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm John Flynn.
Yesterday was National Voter Registration Day, a nationwide campaign to get voters registered for the 2018 general election. Program Director Jamie Rosenkranz spoke with King's College students about voter registrations.
National Voters Registration Day was yesterday, September 25th. This day's purpose is to get people to register to vote. Junior political science major Katie Pugh and senior Chris Becker explain why it is important to be registered to vote.
It's up to us to kind of shape where everything's going. And a lot of people don't think of it that way. Nobody actually wants to play their part in what we're trying to build here.
Voter registration is one of the easiest and most important things you can do to become civically active. The registration itself, the process takes just a couple minutes, and it's super easy to fill out. You could at least get the details for it online or at the courthouse or any other number of venues. A lot of political action committees and nonprofits will go around with clipboards and help you register to vote. But voter registration is highly important because our government in the Federalist state is designed to be accessible to the people, and the opinions that our representatives, mainly in Congress, represent for us. Right now, it's only a sample of a very small population that tends to be older, richer, white people. That's the majority of people who vote, whereas young people, people of color, LGBT people, they're not being represented as clearly in government because they're not voting as much. So that's why it's important to get to the polls. So our government actually works the way it's designed to, by kind of taking a sample of all opinions in America and turning them into policy and legislation.
Pew has always found politics to hold a significant place in her life. Pew and Becker also discuss how not enough people are registered to vote.
Politics have always been important to me. I'm a member of several various marginalized groups, and for my general safety and well-being, it's important for me to be politically active. And I think it's my civic duty as well, just as an American, to get involved in the politics that govern me.
I think not enough young people vote. Honestly, it's all old people who vote. I'd say probably 30s and up. The amount of 20-year-olds who vote is probably pathetic to look at on a piece of paper.
Pew has advice for people struggling to figure out who to vote for.
One easy way to get passionate about politics is finding just one issue that you might be interested in. It could be gay rights. It could be the controversy surrounding abortion. It could be any issue that you find particularly striking or important. Maybe you're a veteran. A lot of veterans don't end up voting. Just find something that's important to you and then research a candidate, even just one, and find if they align with your views or not. And if they do, go out and support them, even if it's just the one issue that matters to you. Because even though not all politicians are perfect, if you can get one policy that works in your favor, then you're getting the government to work for you, which is how it's supposed to be.
So get out there and get registered. For the 88.5 WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director Jamie Rosenkranz.
Coming up, we'll hear from Joshua Frankevich with the Business Beat and Sports Director Chris Wallenberg about the 2019 commencement speaker.
Everybody buckle up. Mom, 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 mom. Buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store?
Come on, buckle
can we get
up.
Some ice cream?
Everybody buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but you're in control. So only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in to 88.5 WRKC this Saturday at 1 p.m. as King's College football will be traveling to Lycoming College to take on the 3-1 Warriors in a MAC conference matchup. Head coach Jeff Narr looks to avenge the homecoming game loss this past Saturday, so we can certainly expect an exciting matchup between these two MAC teams. And Monarch football is broadcast live only on 88.5 Radio King's College.
The news at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Hello, this is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat, the U.S. in review. Housing starts rebounded in August, while building permits saw a considerable drop. Home sales also came in below expectations, as resales of existing homes were unchanged. Despite housing remaining in a soft patch, real GDP is expected to remain solid and grow 3.1% during quarter three and stay close to that pace through the remainder of the year. Much of the improvement in home starts came about from a 29.3% increase in multifamily units. Apartment construction is proving stagnant as affordability and supply concerns are preventing many renters from buying. Shortages of empty lots and construction workers and higher material prices might be holding back some projects, particularly starter homes. Sales of existing homes were unchanged in August at a 5.34 million unit annual pace, following four consecutive months of declining sales. The supply of affordable homes remains exceptionally lean. Existing home sales have been disappointing as many homeowners remain reluctant to put their homes up for sale due to concerns that they will have a hard time finding a suitable home to buy. One of the selling points of exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, have over mutual funds has been investors' ability to buy and sell them throughout the day, controlling the timing of their trades. Now, Wall Street industry groups are backing a Securities and Exchange Commission proposal to eliminate one of the features of this trade. Among other rules, the agency wants to abolish the practice of ETFs updating their net asset value every 15 seconds, something that the industry says is cumbersome and often inaccurate. The SEC has proposed letting funds report their value once a day at the close of trading. So-called intraday net asset value has been a way for investors to assess how a fund overall is trading compared to its underlying securities. When an ETF's share price deviates from the value of its assets, however, it can be a sign that something is wrong. It's especially noticeable in volatile trading when demand is exceeding supply or investors are having trouble unloading their holdings, for example. In its own letter last week, the Investment Company Institute said in fast-moving markets, the intraday value might lag the actual value or be inaccurate because the underlying securities don't often trade. And now, the global view. From the Eurozone, this week's key releases were the manufacturing and service sector purchasing managers indices for September. The manufacturing PMI fell to 53.3 and is now at its lowest level since late 2016. However, the PMI for the service sector, which accounts for the majority of the Eurozone economy, rose to 54.7. Overall confidence surveys remain consistent with GDP growth in the 1.5 to 2% range. While there have been some hints of increasing wages across the Eurozone, underlying inflation pressures are near zero and likely to pick up only gradually, meaning that the European Central Bank interest rates should be on hold for an extended period. In the United Kingdom, August CPI inflation grew to 2.7% year over year, and core CPI inflation grew to 2.1%. Despite that uptick, inflation pressures are low overall. After a post-Brexit inflation surge, which saw the value of the pound fall sharply, experts believe that neither growth nor inflation is strong enough to draw the Bank of England to raise interest rates at this point, especially given the potential for uncertainty to persist while UK and European officials continue to negotiate the terms of the United Kingdom's post-Brexit relationship with the European Union. Norway's central bank raised its deposit rate by 25 BPS to 0.75% as CPI inflation and economic growth have grown as expected in recent months. Norway's central bank also indicated that further increases were likely, but at a slightly slower pace than previously signaled. The head of Argentina's central bank has resigned amid reports of a row over policies to restore confidence in the country's ailing economy. Luis Caputo had only held his post since June, and the surprise resignation sent the peso falling further against the U.S. dollar. A statement said he quit for personal reasons and will be replaced by the deputy economics minister. Argentina is currently finalizing a $50 billion bailout from the IMF. With Argentina in recession, interest rates at 60%, and the peso's value halving this year, the country needs the IMF loan to bolster confidence in the economy. And finally, China lashed out the United States in a 71-page paper accusing President Trump of, quote, trade bullyism practices that have become, quote, the greatest source of uncertainty and risk for the recovery of the global economy. The document, published on Monday, outlined the Chinese government's response to criticisms leveled against it by the U.S. Issues addressed in the report include the trade imbalance between the two countries, Beijing's subsidy policy, and alleged intellectual property theft by Chinese companies. Despite the longstanding evidence of Chinese protectionism, the Monday white paper sought to position Asia's largest economy as the global standard bearer for fair trade. And this has been Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat.
This year's commencement speaker is legendary Notre Dame football coach Lou Holtz. Sports director Chris Mollenberg has campus reactions to the announcement.
Students of King's College have had the privilege of having access to the Holy Cross network of schools that stretches from Notre Dame University to even Catholic high schools across the U.S. These schools support each other year after year and continue to help each other grow. Legendary college football coach who has won several championships at Notre Dame was honored at the homecoming game this past Saturday and has opened up about the possibility of visiting the Monarchs this year. Father Jack Ryan of King's College has high hopes for this opportunity and explains why this would be so beneficial to students and faculty of the school.
You know, we're excited to have Coach Lou Holtz here for a number of reasons. The first reason, obviously, Coach Holtz has a national reputation. He's a motivational speaker, and he kind of helps all of us, students, faculty, staff, to look at challenges or obstacles that we might think are bigger than we are or things that we can't get over. And he gives us some words of wisdom on how to do that. Now, it's meaningful because he's done it. He's done it in his life. He's one of the most winning coaches in the country at six different colleges. in universities. He's made turnaround. He's the Football College Hall of Fame. It's only one out of 5,000 gets on that. So he's done it. Right? He's overcome a lot of challenges in his life. So he gives credibility to any words that he offers to all of us who maybe are struggling to achieve goals. I mean, that's the first thing I would say. Secondly, as a relatively small college in northeastern Pennsylvania, it's a point of pride to have a national figure here. And it says something about Lou Holtz that he'll spend his time and his talent in northeastern Pennsylvania for the sake of the mission of King's, for students, for Catholic education, and for sports. Third, and I've often said this, that all of us need role models and mentors to give us hope. We always ask ourselves, you know, life is difficult and arduous, and so what makes it worthwhile? What gives us hope? What's out there that justifies the rigor of the journey? And not only is there something out there bigger and important enough to justify the journey, can I make it? Can I achieve it? Is it achievable? And to answer those two questions, we need hope bearers. We need people to say, hey, you know, there are things that are bigger in life than we are. There are things worth striving for. And you know what? They're doable because I did it and I'm like you. I mean, Coach Holtz came from humble backgrounds, born in West Virginia, not a huge man on stature, played linebacker in football till injuries took him out. He's one of those legitimate hope bearers that gives us reasons to hope and the things to hope for. And that's, I think, that among other things is a point of pride to have him here.
Not only would it mean so much to the students and faculty of King's College if Holtz had taken his time to visit, but head football coach Jeff Narr believes all Monarch coaches as well can learn a great deal by just taking a look at Holtz's coaching career and attempting to apply those same principles to their coaching strategies at King's.
Do you think we can take away from Lou Holtz coming to speak with us, have him coached at the, you know, flagship university of the Congregation of Holy Cross? Is, you know, I think he wanted to be successful on the football field, but his main, you know, objective was he was teaching his men to be, you know, leaders and winners in life. It was more about, I think, you know, what they did on the field on Saturday was important. It was also, he wanted to make sure they were excelling in the classroom, you know, excelling in the community, make sure they were going to become, you know, good husbands, good fathers, you know, just good people, not just, you know, good football players, you know. And then also instill the work ethic. Like, he knew just, you know, they were very talented. He had very talented players, but it just doesn't happen. It's about hard work, you know, being disciplined, being committed to something. And then, you know, he preached more than anything. I think, you know, the we is definitely greater than the me.
Students, coaches, and teachers are obviously all excited about the possibility of Lou Holtz coming to speak at King's College. To hear more on this story, tune in to the WRKC News at 5 o'clock on Friday. But for now, I am Chris Wallenberg. Thank you for listening.
And now for the weather. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 53. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 70. And Friday will be cloudy with a chance of rain and a high of 68. The King's production of Ragtime opens this Thursday in the Maffei Theater at 7:30. The Red Cross is holding a blood drive tomorrow from 10 to 4 p.m. on the third floor of the Campus Center. And this has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm station manager Lauren Gallagher. Have a wondrous Wednesday.
Hi, this is Erin McKeown, and you are listening to WRKC Wilkes-Barre.